In October of 2010, actor George Clooney and Enough Project co-founder John Prendergast traveled to the contested Abyei region of Sudan in anticipation of the referendum that would eventually grant South Sudan independence. Some anticipated that once the oil-rich southern region seceded, another civil war would erupt between the forces of the north, governed by alleged war criminal Omar al-Bashir, and the Sudanese People's Liberation Army in the south. The casualties would be catastrophic. Preventing a war seems like it would be nearly impossible, outside the power even of a pair of American celebrities. But Clooney and Prendergast helped devise a creative plan, using remote satellite surveillance technology to monitor military activities in Sudan for a faster humanitarian response. By December of the same year, Clooney's celebrity philanthropy organization had partnered with Prendergast's Enough Project, as well as the Harvard Humanitarian Initiative and a satellite company, Digital Globe, to create the Satellite Sentinel Project. 18 months and 28 reports later, the team behind the Satellite Sentinel Project has been successful enough to build their satellite war prevention effort into the Signal program. Radio Berkman producer Francis Harlow has more.
Crimes against humanity used by the International Criminal Court in investigative documents obtained by Time magazine. Someone else want to step up?
Sure.
We'll just go around the room, starting with Sam.
The entirety of what used to be the Satellite Sentinel Project sits at an oblong conference table in an unremarkable Harvard Square office building. Most of them are interns, unpaid and under 30. A few of the official staffers have their own cubicles elsewhere, but they prefer to work here, clustered around their laptops with the AC droning in the background and a Google Doc projected on the far wall.
Associated with SSP's reports.
Should we call in there?
Yeah.
Semicolon?
Yeah, and let's... Ziad, if you're going to be scribe, let's make a notation between paragraph SSB's achievements and the Enough Project. We're going to add a graph about...
They're collectively copy-editing a report. Given the report's content, which details their success in documenting alleged bombings and mass graves nearly 6,400 miles away, it's an especially dreary task. But Deputy Director of Operations Benjamin Davies manages to insert some levity into the process.
In the... Zion.
This report closes the book on the work of the Satellite Sentinel Project. But the team will continue to collect and analyze satellite evidence of potential war crimes and crimes against humanity as the Signal Program for Human Security and Technology. George Clooney called them his anti-genocide paparazzi. Unsurprisingly, their work is significantly more complicated than that, as Director of Operations Nathaniel Raymond explains.
Because as human security analysts, this is the Wild West. I mean, this is just the beginning of this frontier. We are pioneers pulling our wagon behind us and lighting out for the territories.
Satellite imagery has been used to document human rights violations in the past. 17 years ago, the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia used similar technology to corroborate the testimony of Srebrenica massacre survivors. However, SSP has crucial advantages over its predecessors, the magnitude of which Raymond still struggles to illustrate.
We had the ability to proactively task satellites at a very high tempo. And what that means in English is that we could tell satellites in space on 24-hour cycles where to go and what to look at. That produced a volume of imagery that is basically thousands and thousands of times larger than all other human rights efforts using satellite imagery ever put together. I can't even express it in a number. It's huge.
Over the course of its 18-month pilot phase, SSP received images depicting more than 300,000 square kilometers of the Sudanese landscape. Those images, as well as the value of Digital Globe's technical support and granting of SSP the ability to aim their satellites in near real time, amounted to millions of dollars of in-kind contributions. But, as Raymond says...
You can have all the satellite imagery in the world, and you can have all the ground source data in the world, and that doesn't mean anything if you don't have a system for making sense of it.
That system has been dubbed simply the log. One of the earliest aspects of SSP entailed devising the log so SSP could begin to decipher the images they were given. Brittany Card, data systems analyst, started as an intern at the project's inception.
While working for the Satellite Sentinel Project, my team and I would monitor international media publications and also local news and radio sources within Sudan. We used these news reports to monitor events that could affect the human security situation, as our main mission was monitoring violence against civilians. After we identified these human security events, they would be logged in a geocoded database that our team is working on building to a unique taxonomy that we developed for the human security situation in Sudan. This allowed us for greater contextual analysis and also tasking of the satellites, in addition to identifying what we are seeing in the satellite images once they are analyzed by Isaac Baker.
Davies, the deputy director, likens the log to an architectural blueprint. Without it, the satellites might as well be directionless, pointed at random spots on the map. Their images would lack enough context to provide insight.
You want to have a predictive model for where you want to look and why, and you want to know what you're going to see before you even look. And what Brittany has done with the log is create that architecture before we lay brick, so we know what the house is going to look like before we even take the shot. And I think that's the most important part of it. It's having situational awareness before you even look. So just because something is very big in the news today may have absolutely nothing to do with where we shoot with a satellite, because what we're looking for is what hasn't been reported.
Because SSP has been developing a methodology as they go along, both the log and the project as a whole are flexible operations subject to change and adaptation. As patterns have emerged from the log, its corresponding vocabulary has evolved to suit the situations they encounter.
For example, our first report in which we identified an alleged mass grave site was in the summer of 2011. The term mass grave as a taxonomical term was not conceived in January when the project started. But as those events started unfolding, then we realized that that was a reality that we were going to face in the project, so we had to adapt to that changing reality.
Isaac Baker leads image analysis.
My name is Isaac Baker, and I am the imagery analysis manager.
Before Raymond offered him a job, he was a musician working part-time at a nearby liquor store. One day, Raymond came in while Baker was reading a British spy novel. The two quickly became friends, and, so the story goes, Raymond asked him if he wanted to do that stuff for real. Since then, Baker has spent thousands of hours poring over Digital Globe's images, teaching himself how to read them. In essence, he's a self-taught spy.
What we're seeing here is intentional destruction, and the key to identifying intentional burning or razing of villages, you see those dark circles in the image are the base of tukuls, or traditional huts in Sudan, and we see that they are charred around the edges, and there is no scorched earth connecting these burnt tukuls, so that is a key indicator to us that they went to each house and torched each one individually as an act of arson.
Isaac and his team, what they do is make sense of the visual intelligence that's inside each of those images. And that's not just about looking at the image in front of you and saying, this is a tank, this is a burned house, this is a trench. It's about also knowing the full stream of the images that came before and how to turn these glimpses of something into a scientifically provable narrative of intention and causality and also prediction.
The key to SSP was the unique ability to predict that a potential atrocity may occur based on the information that it had gathered. When General al-Bashir's army began building elevated roads leading towards the border city of Abyei, SSP deduced that they were readying the way for tanks and other armored vehicles. So SSP issued a report nearly 2 months before the actual invasion of Abyei, during which both Sudan and South Sudan violated a 2005 peace treaty. Unlike similar efforts, SSP had the power to select its satellite's targets in what they call near real time. So it was not merely analyzing archival photos and searching for evidence of violence safely contained in the past. Instead, in many ways, its reports affect the situation on the ground. About 6 months into the project, attacks started occurring on major U.S. holidays, most likely because the perpetrators hoped no one would be watching from above. Ideally, SSP's reports could be used to warn civilian populations and ultimately save lives. It's hard to gauge if this is already happening, in part because in the past, SSP left policy matters and the distribution of their reports to the Enough Project's savvy communications team. An arguably wise decision, since their reports have been referenced in over 8,000 articles and been presented to the White House and the UN Security Council. But while SSP emphasized the necessity for objectivity in their work, the Enough Project has faced some criticism in the humanitarian community for requesting U.S. military intervention against Sudan. With the Signal program, the team will concentrate on using its experience to create a set of operating procedures that can readily be implemented elsewhere.
We want to make remote sensing a standard part of the human rights and humanitarian operations toolbox. To get that synthesis from data to imagery, then to standards and ethics, how do you fuse that together in a way that doesn't just make sense, but make sense safely? And this is the highest apple on the tree, is to deploy sense making into the world that has what we call an ambient protective effect, that it's not simply saying this is information statically. No, this is information that we are putting out into the world in a very strategic, tactical way to try to affect the decision making of the potential perpetrator, and to try to enhance the decision making of the humanitarian responder or the vulnerable civilian. We want to have a kinetic role in the environment by deploying sense making in ways that make it harder to do illegal things and make it easier for humanitarians to do things that help people.
From inventing the log to recruiting a musician, SSP has grown through experimentation. It had to, because there was no pre-existing model. The hope is that if Signal focuses on developing a fail-safe methodology, other human security organizations can avoid their missteps.
You can think that you are clearly visualizing information, but when you take that visualization, that map, or that text report, and you put it in the hands of someone who is working 24 hours a day in a disaster zone and may not know how to look at a satellite image, if you interpret it even correctly in a way that they can't use in a fail-safe way for their decision-making as humanitarian actors, they could take that and make wrong decisions off of your correct analysis. Often in academia, you're trying to get the right answer. We are trying to get the right answer, but we're trying to get the right answer in the right way. That answer needs to be able to be scalable, safe, and easily understood.
It would be easy to imagine, with literally a bird's eye view, that you have the whole picture of an unfolding situation. But the SSP learned to be careful with the language of their reports. Aware that satellites and analysts stationed thousands of miles away can only understand part of the story.
When we write reports, we use caveat language. We'll say something is consistent with, or this corroborates that. We use language that says we're not 100% positive about causality, because we can't be. But our analysis shows that this is pretty close. You know, all conclusions are leading to this.
Because if their reports are misinterpreted, the consequences are the gravest imaginable. It's impossible to forget that human lives are at stake. And although Raymond admits that he and his staff are facing some of the worst things human beings can do to one another, he also says there is solace in the science.
What we found is that there is rescue for human beings in ones and zeros. There is rescue for human beings in facts and in science. And that out of the seemingly sterile world of satellites and computers, when applied in a certain way, there is a human heartbeat to it. And in that, there is a chance for rescue.
For Radio Berkman, I'm Frances Harlow.
You can find out more about the Signal program at our website, blogs.law.harvard.edu/Media Berkman, where you can also listen to more episodes of Radio Berkman and parts of the series, or check us out on PRX. Thanks to Francis Harlow for this story. This episode was produced by Francis and myself, Daniel Dennis Jones, with special thanks to Amanda Tobe and the staff of the Signal program.